Monday will be Erev Pesach, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Ayin Sif Aleph says Habachorot Mitanim be'Erev Pesach, that the firstborns fast on Erev Pesach. It's not just people who are firstborns in terms of Nachala, in terms of inheritance, but whether you're firstborn from the father or whether you're firstborn from the mother, you fast. It also says that there are those who say that even a female firstborn should fast, but the minhag is not like that. Rav Avadia Yosef in the Haggadah Chazon Avadia, he says that even amongst Sfardim, the minhag is not like that. The Ramah in Se'if Bet says that the minhag is that if a person has a child who's a firstborn and that child is under the age of Bar Mitzvah, then the father fasts on their behalf, and if the father himself is a Bechor, then the mother needs to fast on his behalf. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Chet says that there are poskim who say that the mother doesn't need to fast on behalf of the child under Bar Mitzvah, because the father's tarnit will count both for himself and also for the child. If the mother finds it difficult to fast, then she is allowed to be lenient, and the father can fast both for himself and for the child under Bar Mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud discusses the notion of breaking the fast because of participating in a Sudat Mitzvah, and he says it depends on the Minhag HaMakomot. Some places do rely on that leniency and other places don't, but he says that nowadays in many places the Minhag is to be Makel and eat even at a Suda for a Sion of a Masechet. So the first question is, why is it that one should be lenient? We're not lenient with regard to other fast days. So the simplest answer brought by a number of poskim is that essentially Tarnit Bechorot is a minhag. It's not, there's no source for it in the Talmud. It comes from Masechet Sofrim, so it's relatively late. And therefore, when necessary, one can be lenient about it. The Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays, just we've got so much to do on Erev Pesach and we're weak and exhausted, if we were to fast, then we would be exhausted and worn out by the time it comes to the Seder and wouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvot of the night properly. But it's certainly interesting to note that in the times of the Mishnah Berurah, it certainly wasn't universal, even though it was widespread. But I think now it's pretty much universal. But there are a number of questions that come up in the poskim about this fast. Rav Eliashiv and others point out that if you're making a siyum on a masechet, so you need to have learnt the whole masechet and understand it. You can't just, you know, read through the words without understanding them. But the Mincha Yitzchak adds that you don't need to learn it keseder. So you could learn the fifth perek first, and then the first perek, and the second perek, and then the sixth perek. You can jump around like that. That would be all right. What about learning Mishnayot? So Rav Vosna says that if you learn a Seder of Mishnayot, so that will be good enough to count towards a Siyum, but not just one Masechet. However, Rav Avadia Yosef in Chafot Chazon Avadia, also in Yechaveh Dat, he says even a Siyum on the Masechet of Mishnah is good if you learnt it properly with the Peirush of the Bar Tanura and at least a bit of the Tosfot Yom Tov as well. And Rav Osher Weiss in his Haggadah also paskins that way. If you learnt it thoroughly and properly, then that's good enough. What about learning a Sefer of Tanakh? So if you've been learning it over a period of time and you're coming to the end of Erev Pesach, so then that counts and that's good enough. You can't just pick up Sefer Yonah on Erev Pesach in the morning and read through that. That wouldn't be effective. The poskim say also, this is Rav Eliashiv, that to divide the masechet between a number of people, take a masechet of 30 daf and have 30 people each learn a daf, that's not good enough in terms of a siyum as far as this is concerned. What about participating in the siyum by dialing in or online or something like that? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach addressed this many years ago in Madani Shlomo, and he was of the opinion, if it's really necessary, it's emergency, emergency, then you can rely on that. Certainly the year of COVID, we made the Siam on Zoom, and that was definitely the right thing to do. I think in general, just because it's inconvenient for a person to come to shul, so then they shouldn't join in by Zoom. But maybe if a person's, you know, for whatever reason, really not able to join the Siam, then one could rely on this. There is a question about rushing the learning. So, you know, you spend a week before learning a Masechet to make a Siam on Erev Pesach. Is that permitted? Rav Shlomo Klugin, Ha'elef L'Chaz Shlomo, and Rabbi Akiva Eger, they were not happy about it. They both said that wasn't effective. But Diane Weiss in Minchat Yitzchak says the Minhag is to be Makel. Diane Weiss also says that at the Siam you have to make sure that you eat a Shir Achila. You can't just have two crisps and a sip of whiskey. You need to eat something which counts properly as eating at a Sudat mitzvah. L'chatchila, the poskim say that you should eat there at the Siyum. But if you didn't, let's say there were lots of people in shul, they didn't have enough refreshments by the time you got to the table, everything was gone, and there's nothing left to eat. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Olbach says that in that case, you can be makel and you can eat at home, because the simcha of the siyum goes with you throughout the entire day. Ad kan.